Now, we're joined now by the author Jean McDonald. Jean has written a book called Love, Sex and the Midlife Woman, and she's here to talk about the book today. Hello, Jean.
Hello.
Now, first of all, can we just clarify what we mean by midlife?
Well, midlife is a very elastic definition because women can start to feel that their life is changing and beginning to feel, asking themselves questions from as young as 35, right. Or it can be in their 60s.
Right.
But probably the core group is sort of 45 to 54.
Okay. Right, okay, I've got plenty of time left, so that's fine. Just wanted to clarify that.
Oh, yes.
Okay. No, I'm joking. Okay. So why did you write this book?
Well, in my opinion, midlife women are one of the most neglected, ignored and forgotten groups in our society. And in addition, they don't help themselves because they tend to hide or even try to make themselves invisible. And some, of course, not all, but many do. And the way they do that is hiding behind other roles. So that could be a grandparent, a housekeeper, a pet keeper, a career woman, even a female entrepreneur. And while those are important, they shouldn't be a complete identity. And that's what tends to happen. They make that particular activity their complete identity. Mm. And as a result, they don't come across, they don't utilise their full femininity and feminine power, which can do so much more.
Right, okay. So, well, it's interesting you talk about femininity and feminine power, because in the book you do make a distinction between sex and gender. And I think this distinction is a very important one. Can you explain what you mean by this distinction?
Well, yes. Very simply, our sex is what we're born with genetically.
As in male, female.
That's right, yes. So, yes, male and female would be sex. Masculine and feminine would be gender. And these are much more fluid. In fact, Carl Gustav Jung came up with a spectrum, and he said that at one end you have extreme femininity and the other end extreme masculinity, but hardly anybody's there. Well, if they are, they're almost caricatures. Most people move around a bit. Some move across the middle. Others just have a range of their own where they feel comfortable.
Mm. Right, okay. I heard agreement there from you, Bonnie.
Yes, I think we all have attributes of feminine and masculine within us, and depending on the circumstances and our life experiences, we express it in different ways, and it's very personal to each person.
Mm. Okay.
Individual.
Mm. Right. Another thing I just wanted to clarify was that this book in particular is specifically for women in the second half of their lives, I guess, who are looking for a heterosexual relationship.
Yes.
Right.
If they're looking for a relationship, that may not be their prime concern.
It may not be their... Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. So just to kind of frame who this book is for. Now, it strikes me this is very much a book that can be discussed openly now, but would not always have been the case. And I know that you start off in the first chapter by noting the way in which women see themselves has changed considerably. The way in which they see themselves in relation to men has changed considerably over the last 50 years. What are some of the ways in which you think this has changed?
Well, I have to say that the most important force has been feminism, which really got going this time around. I mean, there have been previous feminist movements, but got going in the 1970s and is still with us today. But the effect has been that many women have felt that feminism required them to play down their femininity and raise the masculinity, somewhat, in some cases, almost to feel that they should ape men, which unfortunately has no femininity about it. And by doing that, of course, they can assert themselves as men, but they lose the opportunity to use their femininity and their feminine power. In fact, the phrase came across the other day, which was that men assert their masculinity, whereas women display their femininity.
Right.
And because they're so busy asserting themselves in competition with men, or even with each other, as I've learned, there's not much of the feminine left, because it's such a sort of fierce activity.
Right. And do you see this as a problem?
Well, yes, because for a lot of women, this has been a success formula, and unfortunately, they also apply it to a greater or lesser degree in their relationships. Mm. So we have women actively looking for a relationship, which is nice. I mean, that's okay, that's fine. But it depends how they do it. If they go out with a sort of net, actively looking for a relationship, that's they may find something, but
yeah, yeah. Catch something. May not be a man, may not be a woman. Yes. Okay. Well, do you feel then that women have to choose between wanting to get ahead, say, in the workplace and having a successful relationship, if they are having to use masculine traits for certain things and feminine traits for certain things? Do you think that that's a binary choice that has to be made?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think that they can do both. They can be as assertive as they like at work, or as they need to be, let's say. Because when Bonnie and I was discussing use of femininity in the workplace, is of course a power that women have that men don't have. Outside, and I wouldn't like to say at home, but let's say in their relationship and in other areas where it serves them, they should use their femininity.
Right. So for you, what is the key to women finding and sustaining a heterosexual relationship in middle life?
Well, it's...
you discuss it in the whole book. I'm asking you to answer it in 30 seconds or less. Yes.
Okay, well, the first thing is to find themselves. Mm. In fact, our slogan for the Love Middle Life Women community, which is what I'm setting up, is finding love through finding yourself.
Right.
And so many women in the midlife process, in view of what they've, in result of what they've been through, have lost themselves, and they feel they're so busy trying to be something else or somebody else and so forth. They need to dig down and deepen themselves and find out who they are, what they want, and what their purpose in life is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested in this online community that you're setting up. What will this involve?
Well, the main starting point is that women do better in a community of support, because isolation is one of the biggest enemies.
Yes.
Women who are dissatisfied in midlife feel like they can't talk about it because other people around seem to have it all sorted out. Mm. Well, of course, they haven't, but they put on a veneer.
Especially on social media.
Yes.
We were discussing this before, yes.
So a community of women who are prepared to admit to some extent that they want to look at their future, the second half of their lives, with an open mind, and support each other, because as women are much more inclined to do than men, is what I hope will emerge. And part of this is that I'm setting up a program of interviews with experts who have specialist knowledge who can help midlife women.
Right, very interesting.
Yes, we discussed this earlier, didn't we? And there's a range of professionals and also coaches. Do you want to elaborate more on what you have?
Yes, well, at the present time, I've got somebody who's talking about health. And, I mean, one of the things is midlife women's bodies are different from when they're younger. Mm-hmm. So how they get into shape, maintain their health, and deal with what there's going on in their body is different from when they were younger. I've also got a lady who is a psychotherapist who helps women to deal with their